went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. We would love for you to stop in and say hello, and if you have a health issue or if you have a health question, I'd be happy to answer them for you. It is my passion and my purpose in life, if you don't want to stop into the office or you want to call ahead or what have you, you can call my cell phone directly at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. That is my cell phone. It's the one I carry with me. It's the one that's sitting on the table right in front of me here now. Please don't text that phone because that phone does not receive text. It'll be a complete waste of your time. And I think we waste enough time. I don't think you need to waste any more time by sending me a text because I won't ever answer. I won't ever respond because I'll never receive it. But if you are into doing the texting type activity, you can send me a text to my email at docrick@spineboy.com. You wouldn't be texting at that point. You'd actually be emailing, but you can send me an email to docrick, D-O-C-R-I-C-K, at spineboy.com, docrick@spineboy.com. And as always, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the health concerns that you have. It is my passion. It is my purpose. It is the reason why we do this show. The show is called When Your Health Matters. It's not up to me when your health matters. It's up to you when your health matters. And the man that helps me do this, the man behind the scenes, the man who is the gentleman who puts the shows together. He's a wonderful human being. He's an interfaith minister. He's the man that helped my wife and I get married. He was the man that helped us commit to our vows. He's a marketer extraordinaire. He's a father of two wonderful young ladies. And he's a close personal friend and a Tai Chi master, and his name is Mark Sabin. And we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, once again, I have to say, Doc Rick, it's a pleasure to get your kind introduction and to be here to talk to our listeners about what it is that differentiates the type of health care that you provide for people, which is really truly health care. It's about taking care of people's health as opposed to treating their sicknesses. And one of the ways that it begins is whenever you have a new patient that comes to you for the first time, you go through a pretty extensive visit with that first visit. And so I'd like you just to sort of give us an indication of what happens when you see a new patient for the first time.
Well, many things happen, Mark. It all depends on who the person is, and that's because we don't have a one-size-fits-all kind of mentality. There are some things that we do with every person that comes in the office. There is a specific process that we bring a person through in an effort to change their perspective from being stuck in the medical model of treating symptoms and masking symptoms with toxic chemicals known to have harmful side effects and chasing symptoms forever and set themselves up for more severe problems requiring surgery. We approach the person from the understanding of finding out why they have the problem that they have, like high blood pressure or high cholesterol or diabetes or autoimmune disease. We want to understand the why they have that. So we orient the whole visit to understanding the why and why they have the concern that they have and what we need to do to address that particular concern or multiple concerns at the source of the problem to truly solve their condition. It's similar to your engine knocking or the front end shaking. We want to address the reason for the engine concern or the alignment concern the same way your mechanic should and ultimately be oriented. And for many markets, new and dynamic approach that they've been looking for their whole life, but they've never experienced it. So it takes a little bit of time, and it requires openness on their part, a willingness to look for a different path or a different methodology of going after their health issues.
I mean, so when you initiate that assessment of a new patient, that means one of the things that you really ask for people to do is to really reflect on their health history. It's not just a matter of, you know, writing down the diseases that you have, but it's a little deeper dive into that.
Right, and we ask them to do that. After all, it is their life and it's their life process or their history that helps one appreciate how we've arrived at the current level of health or their current level of situation. It's like, okay, if you are a gentleman that always does things with your right arm and you never use your left arm, you're going to notice that there's a difference between the right arm versus the left arm. It's interesting. I was watching a video the other day at my brother's house, and this one guy is an arm wrestler, mm-hmm. and his right arm was literally twice the size of his left arm.
Oh, my.
And to see him walk down the street, you'd look at him, and you'd be like, there's something wrong with his right arm. And it's like, you know, well, yeah, because he's trained it and used it in such a way that it becomes different. And so understanding what a person's patterns are and what their lifestyle is like and, mm-hmm. and what it is that creates stress for them and what they do to stress relieve or are they taking an active approach to their life or a passive approach to their life? Taking a good, adequate history to understand what's going on with them. Another aspect that we talk about in the history is, okay, tell me what you do during your job and how does your job affect your health, if it affects your health at all. Tell me about your primary relationship, and does your primary relationship affect your health, or does your health affect your primary relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's lots of couples out there now because of their health issues. They don't have any intimacy anymore, okay? And it's because they're not physically capable of being intimate because of their health concerns. And I just think that's a tragedy, because I think one of the greatest gifts that God gave us is our ability to express and give and receive love between people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible if that doesn't happen anymore for a couple because of what's gone on in their health. So,
right.
You know, your ability to conduct normal relations is a question that we need to ask in terms of a person's health history, because I need to understand, well, how exactly is this impacting you? And it's interesting because when I get them to acknowledge how their health is impacting them, when I ask them these questions that no other doctor has ever asked them, they actually start to see that their condition is ruining their life. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they should tolerate. It's not something that they should mask. It's not something that they should put off or observe for a while longer until it gets worse, which is sometimes what the advice they get from their doctor. There's nothing for us to do with this. Just keep an eye on it, and if it gets worse, come back. Why would you want anything to get worse?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
And so when a person starts to acknowledge for themselves, wow, this does impact my relationship. It doesn't impact my mood when I'm dealing with other people. It does impact my ability to get my job done because the days that I don't have the condition, I'm significantly more productive than the days that I do have my condition. Mm-hmm. And getting a person to take a look at that and understand what their history is, you know, how long, when was the first time you had a problem in your knee? Well, you know, this particular problem I've had, you know, for a couple of weeks. No, but have you ever had an issue? Oh, yeah, I've had an issue with my knee for years. Okay, well, when was the first time you had an issue with your knee? Oh, you know, when I was in grade school, you know, I fell on my bike and my knee hit the pavement and my knee hasn't been right ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that changes the chronicity. It changes my approach to taking a look to, in order to help them versus, you know what, I got out of bed this morning and I stepped wrong and my knee gave way and, you know, I've had this problem for a couple of hours versus it's been there my whole life.
Right, right. Now, another thing that's really interesting about your questions that you ask people in that first visit is you ask for what kind of expectation they have for their visit. And what does that answer help you understand?
Well, it helps me understand a lot. If a person has been suffering for 20 years and their last doctor 10 years ago did something simple to get them out of their crisis and they're expecting me to do the same simplistic thing and them thinking that it wouldn't take more than that, we may not understand the same thing about their condition and we need to get on the same page in order to truly help them. So if they're thinking that, you know what, you saw a friend of mine and you gave them an adjustment and their 20 years of bowel irritation went away in one visit and I've got a similar condition and I want you to do the same thing for me.
Won't necessarily work.
Their expectations mm-hmm. are completely unrealistic. So I need to manage their expectations, but I need to also help them understand that you're not going to get rid of a 20-year problem in a week or so. Mm-hmm. So I ask them, you know, how long do you think it'll take in order for you to get well? And if they come back with something completely unrealistic, I'll ask them again. I'll be, seriously? So let me get this straight. You've had this problem for 20 years, and you think it should go away in a week? That's, I wish I was Jesus Christ. I wish I had an ability to make the blind people see and the lame walk, etc. I wish I could just simply touch you with my hands and have your whole health transform. And at that, you know, at some points, there are times where I say, you know what? I don't know that we're a match.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, what do you mean? I don't know if your expectations and my clinical understanding of what's going on with you are a match. If you could dial back the expediency in which you think that you're going to recover from a 20-year problem, then maybe I can work with you. I'm going to try to get you well as fast as I possibly can because that's in my best interest and in your best interest. But I don't think if you have a totally degenerative knee and your doctor says it needs to be replaced, but you're coming to me because you want to see if there's something alternative that I can do for you, that I'm going to make a 20, 30, 40-year-old degenerative knee get well in a visit. That's not a match, and I'm going to refer you back to your orthopedist to just go have the knee replaced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you don't do surgeries, you don't prescribe medications. So, are your patients when they come to you typically looking for something different, or are they looking for the same outcome that they would expect from their medical doctor?
9 times out of 10, they're tired with the medical model. They're tired with masking symptoms. They're tired with still having the same problem, even though they're taking the medication, and now they're having new problems as a result of taking the medication for
so
as
the
long
patients
as they're taking it.
That you're seeing
they're initiating the fact that there has to be a better way.
That they've already been getting treatment, and
so
it's not
working. They come to me, and mm-hmm. they're like, you know what? I'm tired of taking this blood pressure medication. Can you help me get off it? And I mm-hmm. say, well, let me preface that by saying I can help your blood pressure come back to normal to the point where you won't need your medication. But I can't tell you to stop your medication because that's outside of my realm of practice. I'm not licensed to prescribe or unprescribe. I'm licensed to help people come back into balance and harmony. You're going to have to go back to your doctor and talk about coming off your medication, or at least go have a conversation with a pharmacist. But that's not going to be up to me. That's going to be up to you and them.
So if that was the case and somebody came in wanted to get off their blood pressure medication and you changed their health, they would have to go back to their physician and the physician would say, you don't need to take this.
Say, Doc, when I take my medication now, I have a tendency, my blood pressure goes too low and I feel like I'm going to pass out and that's not good for my life. And so could you evaluate what's going on? And the doctor will say, well, did you take your blood pressure medication today? And no, I didn't take it. And they take the blood pressure and they're like, well, your blood pressure seems to be normal. So why don't we, you know, if the medication allows you to just simply step off of it, they may recommend that, you know what, let's just have you stop your medication. And if it comes back, then we know that we have something, you know, maybe you have enough in your system now that you don't need to take it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's have you stop it and let's see what happens. But that has to be under the discretion of the medical professional, because they're the ones who are licensed in order to prescribe, and they're the ones who can change medication or stop your medication.
You know, one of the things that it seemed to me that if you're asking for an extensive medical history and what your history has to do with your health condition that you have, is that there may be people that come in there who can't even remember or recall when something began or
right. They've had it for so long, they don't even know when it started.
Right. And maybe in the course of working with you, that memories may come back over the course of time and say, yeah, I remember. I didn't remember that, but.
It's interesting because that does happen, and that happens somewhat often, believe it or not, because, you know, when you get a body functioning better,
mm-hmm.
then everything starts to work better, including a person's brain.
Ah.
And they start to recover memories that they didn't necessarily have. Why? Because we got rid of the thing that was interfering with them having proper memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, they start talking about things that was from a long time ago, and they have, you know, very lucid memories of that particular incident kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk about, I think on a previous show, you talked about peeling the layers of the onion back, that as you begin to explore more deeply, you begin to uncover more and more things in the course of your work.
Absolutely, and the peeling of that onion goes into understanding the patterning that set a person up for a particular condition. So in that situation, it's like, okay, well, yeah, what was your health like when you were 5? What was your health like when you were 15? What was your health like when you were 25? And going through a person's whole health history, okay, you know what? I was sickly as a kid. And then I went through a health phase to where I got really healthy and took care of myself. And then I got bogged down with work and marriage and kids and mortgages and debt and all of that. And now I'm back in a rut again. And I forgot that, yeah, you know what? There was a time where I knew how to recover my health, but there was a time where I had to truly recover my health because I was in a pretty sickly state. And that influences
mm-hmm.
what it is that we're going to do and how it is that we're going to do it. And I can use that history beneficially for the patient. Because it's like when I help people manage their weight and we talk about weight management, and it's like, okay, do you have any history within your life of having lost weight successfully, for even if it was just for a week, or, you know, you had to fit into a dress for a reunion or something mm-hmm. like that? Have you ever had a circumstance to where you've had success losing weight, even if it was just a pound? And they're like, yeah. And it's like, okay, good. Tell me about that success. And I'll use that success and say, okay, so you have the neurological history within you that allows you to have success. We just need to tap back into that and allow it to last mm-hmm. for longer than the limited time that it did.
Now, one of the things that you do in your practice, which would involve people that they may have vague symptoms, or they may not have any noticeable symptoms that they're even aware of, subtler imbalances that may have to do with their health, and but you're able to help people even prevent illnesses and health issues from arising when they come and see you, even if there's nothing that they're aware of.
Right. And I do that. And that is the real value in what I do to help a person experience once we have them in balance. And it's, you know, when you're aware of, and I hope the listeners, but if you're new to the show, you may not be aware of this. I use a tool called manual muscle testing, which allows me to pick up a 3% loss in function.
Just 3%?
3%. You lose 3%, I can find that you have a 3% loss. Obviously, people come into my office and they have greater than a 60% loss because they have an active symptom. Mm-hmm. And you need to have a greater than 60% loss of normal function in order to have a symptom. And healthcare manages people around that 60% loss or 40% of normal functioning. Mm-hmm. So I can find when a person has, I don't know, a 15%, a 20%, even a 50% loss of normal function. And they're not even aware that they've lost that much function because there's nothing that's telling them that there's a problem.
Or they're just so used to what the condition is that,
right, that they ignore it. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, when I find, you know, I'll do an evaluation and there's a reflex that's right in the middle of your sacrum, which for the average person listening is right at the top of your butt crack. We touch that part of a person and it creates a weakness. I know that they have bladder control issues.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in an initial evaluation, because I do a whole body evaluation, they didn't come in for that. They came in because, I don't know, they have knee pain or they have headaches or they have, high cholesterol or they're trying to get off their blood pressure medication, whatever the case is. And so I do the full body evaluation and that reflex will come back positive or as a weakness. And I'll say to them, do you have any issues with holding your urine? Are you a teacher who holds your urine all day? Or do you, when you got to go, do you really got to go? Or do you sometimes get leakage? Are you considering Depends undergarments? You know, I'll ask the question a million different ways to try to get them to internally reflect on what their truth is. And, you know, if they come back and say, no, doc, I don't have any of those issues at all, I'll say, all right, well, just in the back of your mind, somewhere down the road, that may start to develop. And if it does, I just want you to know that your body's indicating a tendency towards that right now. And sometimes people come back a month later and say, you remember that thing you said that I told you I didn't have? Well, was that a Jedi mind trick? Because I'm starting to think that I have that now. And it's like, well, no, you were close to the threshold of where you would get an active symptom. I found the problem. You didn't have the active symptom. Now you do. And it's okay. So it's better to get it in front of the problem as opposed to be chasing it, which is what medicine does.
Right, right. So when you're looking at these levels of discomfort, they often don't meet the standards for the healthcare insurance to cover them.
No, because health insurance is all about treating and masking symptoms. Mm-hmm. And as we've said, you have to lose 60% of normal functioning in order for health insurance to kick in. Okay, so when health insurance isn't going to cover an intervention because it doesn't meet their standards, it's because, you know, you have to lose 60% of normal functioning, Mark, and once the person is out of pain, insurance is no longer going to cover and is no longer going to support the care necessary to getting a person truly well and healthy. Why? Because that's not the purpose of health insurance. Health insurance is for a crisis. The difficulty is that we're making everybody have crises just so that everybody can use their health insurance and everybody can get paid, and then we keep them trapped in their crisis.
But that doesn't allow for people to have healthy lives.
No, it doesn't, because it has nothing to do with health whatsoever.
So people who are looking for health care may not be able to meet the standards of what's required in order to get support.
Right. People want their health insurance to be a health maintenance insurance policy.
But that's not what it is.
No, it's not. It's a crisis intervention policy. So when you have a crisis, then you exercise. It's like your homeowner's insurance doesn't pay you because you didn't have a fire.
Right.
Your health insurance or your car insurance doesn't pay you when your car rides the way that it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not until you have a problem that the insurance kicks in. Okay. You don't get your life insurance policy value while you're still alive. In fact, you're never going to get your life insurance value. The people who survive you are going to get the beneficiaries of your life insurance are the ones that are going to get the reward, not you.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I think it was Ben Franklin who really started the insurance model as a way of spreading the risk, because everybody, you know, we have bodies, we're vulnerable. Accidents happen, people get hurt. You know, if you have cars crash, and all these kinds of things, they do happen. So what the insurance was designed to do was that everybody sort of puts their money into this big pot so that the big pot can cover the disaster when it happens to somebody. And that was the model really for what insurance is about. But health is really a different situation. And I think that's kind of what this show is really trying to to address is the fact that your health is something that you should have all the time. There may be the crisis where you do need that intervention where suddenly you break a leg or something happens where that kind of thing could happen. And you want to have some way of being able to address that issue without having to go bankrupt.
Sure.
But that's really a different situation than what healthcare is about. And that's really kind of at the heart of what the show is about.
Right. And at the end of the day, it's like, okay, we were born with the right to be healthy. That right was given to us by God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know how to exercise it, okay, then we don't ever have to get sick. And I do my best to be a living example of that because I haven't been sick in over 20 years. And, you know, I travel around the world and I eat various foods and I interact with lots of sickly people and I don't get any of the conditions that they have. But in the process of trying to help people, getting back to our topic of what does our history have to do with things, it's like, okay, well, our history is everything in terms of this is how we got to where we are today. And so if a person comes into me and they have some kind of imbalance, I want to look, okay, when did the imbalance start? What was going on before that? Just before your injury happened, what was going on?
Oh, really? So you'll deal with an injury.
Well,
situation.
I was, you know, going through a difficult decision and this, that, and the other thing, and it created, you know, I was in a state of uncertainty, and I stepped off the curb, and my knee blew out. Well, yeah. Flexibility with either walking away for something, if it's your left knee, or flexibility with stepping towards something, if it's your right knee. And I'll ask, well, which was it? Were you thinking about trying to get away from something, or were you thinking about the uncertainty of going forward in life? As a matter of fact, I was trying to figure out which job to accept because I got two job opportunities in front of me, and I wasn't sure which one I was going to take. It's like, okay, so you were in a state of indecision. Indecision is a gallbladder emotion, and the gallbladder controls the balance and functioning of your knee. So you had some indecision, which stressed your gallbladder circuit, and the flexibility of as that circuit passed through your knee let go and your knee gave out just because you were in a state of indecision. That's how things go in my office. And if you don't know how to put all those pieces together and ask the right questions, and it's like, okay, do you deal with indecision a lot? And they'll say, well, sometimes, not really, not all, maybe. It's like, well, yeah, your whole answer was indecisive, you know? And it's funny when that happens because when they give me their indecisive answer and I point out to them, well, that answer was pretty indecisive. And they're like, yeah, I guess I am indecisive. And it's hard for them to
even admit it,
to acknowledge the truth of the matter. And it's, you know, and it's like, okay, so I know this person has gallbladder stress and they may get headaches or they may get digestive issues. Or they may get knee pain or whatever. But really getting to know the patient and understand what their history is and understand what their tendencies are and understand where they're previous weaknesses are, their previous injuries, those things influence everything that I'm doing for who they are today.
Mm-hmm. And I would expect their interests would also influence what's going on with their health.
Oh, sure.
So depending on what they're intrigued by or what they're following or...
Right, or what their hobbies are.
What their hobbies are.
Yeah.
If they're hooked on watching CNN all night long, that's going to have an effect on their behavior and what's going on with their health.
Oh, yeah, and I tell everybody listening, please don't ever watch the news before you go to bed. I think we were talking about this in the last show. The news, the tone of the news is to either get you angry or get you afraid.
Right.
And if they can drive you from anger into fear, then they've got you right where they want
you.
And that's not a place you should not be having any of those thoughts whatsoever when you go to bed because you're going to wake up in the morning. You're going to have a crappy day.
And then be distressed.
Right.
Well, this is a very interesting conversation about your health history and your life history and what that has to do with your health. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to get more into this topic about your health and your health history.
Absolutely. But please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we're back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me and stop into the office, that would be the best thing to do. Stop into the office. We can actually talk face to face, and that's always better than the other two alternatives, which you could call me directly at my cell phone. I'll be the one answering the phone. That phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly. Don't text my phone. It doesn't receive text. But you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K, docrick@spineboy.com. And as always, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. And today we're talking about what does your history have to do with it? And history is everything. And we'll probably find out that maybe history is nothing. But
well, either way, we're going to find out, right? And so one of the things that is important that you ask extensively about is about a person's diet. What does it tell you what a person is doing with their diet in terms of their health?
Well, we get a sense of what they're eating. We get a sense of when they're eating, the places that you're actually eating, what you're feeling while you're eating. Because a lot of times when a person feels a particular emotion, they may reach for a particular food. So no disrespect to somebody who's sitting at home on a Friday night who doesn't have a date or doesn't necessarily have a lot of friends and doesn't get along with lots of people, and they're sitting at home and they're watching sad, sappy movies and they're digging into a carton of what?
Ice cream.
There you go.
There you go.
It's like, all right, well, eating ice cream isn't necessarily the best thing for you. But if you're in a state of despair or low self-esteem or self-loathing and you're shoveling in spoonful after spoonful of ice cream because it gives you a feel-good experience, and that's setting yourself up for having health issues. So getting a sense of what a person's mood is when they eat and the types of foods that they're choosing gives me clues as to what organ or gland they may be trying to satiate or satisfy as a result because of the food that they're eating makes that part of their body, quote, feel better.
So how does it relate to, you know, a lot of people derive a lot of pleasure out of eating and the variety of foods that they eat. So how does that relate to either, do you limit what you're eating? Do you restrict what you're eating? How do you balance that?
I don't like people to be restricted in terms of what they eat. I like them to be informed about what they eat, and then they impose, quote, their own restrictions because they're eating the things that work well for them and help them to be healthy. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting story. When my wife and I first got together and were dating and we started food shopping together, like the second or the third time we went food shopping together, my girlfriend, now my wife at the time, looked at me and she says, "You always buy the same stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, I buy the same stuff because I've found through a lot of trial and error what foods work for me to help maintain and keep me in this state of health." And I said, she's just like, "Well, I have a wider palate. I like more variety." And I said, "Well, let's take a look at that." I said, "Let me ask you a simple question. How many times a day do you have a bowel movement?" And she's like, "A day?" She says, "I don't go every day." I said, "You don't go every day?" I said, "You should go every day." She says, "I have never gone every day." I said, "Well, how often do you go?" She says, "I don't know. Maybe I go a couple, two, three times a week." And I'm like, "Seriously, a week?" I said, "Well, how many times a day do you eat?" She says, "Well, I eat the three main meals and I graze all day long. You know, I'm a high energy person, so I eat a lot of food." And I'm just like, "So you're putting in high mass quantities of food on a regular basis, but you're making withdrawals only every once in a while. Do you see the imbalance there?" And I said, that has to do with the choices of food that you make in terms of how your body's going to process it. So sometimes having a limited diet, sometimes mm-hmm. having the understanding of what foods work for you versus what foods work against you, that's the purpose of me doing a diet history, is trying to understand, okay, is any of the foods that you're eating contributing to why you feel the way that you feel and why your condition is the way your condition is?
Uh-huh. So, I mean, you obviously you're going to ask people about their intake of things like alcohol, sugar, coffee, and those things are pretty common in the American diet. So how do those substances impact your health assessment?
Well, they impact your ability to process, absorb, and use the food ingredients in a healthy way. Alcohol, sugar, coffee, they impact your microbiome, the part of your digestive system that regulates your health and your ability to absorb and assimilate your food. And you put that crap in your body on a regular basis, and you can expect to have troubles functioning, healing, and being balanced. And so it's a question of what you're putting into your body. I mean, we've talked about this before. God's first medicine is what?
Food.
Right. Yeah. Not artificial food, not synthetic food.
Not drugs.
Not crap food, not drugs, here's an interesting phenomenon. If you go to the doctor and the doctor wants to give you a shot, what do they do with your skin before they give you the shot?
They rub it up with alcohol.
They rub it up with alcohol in an effort to do what?
Get rid of any germs.
Right. They sterilize you with alcohol.
Right.
Then you go to the bar on Friday night and you consume alcohol. What do you think that does to
Your stomach?
Sterilizing your digestive system and keeping the good bacteria that should be there of your microbiome from functioning properly so that you can absorb and assimilate your food.
Now, that becomes a big problem for people, that they can't absorb and assimilate their food. So
That is the problem with people. That's the reason for why we have health issues, is that we can't absorb and assimilate our food, either because we're not eating real food, or we're not able to absorb and assimilate the food because of the state of the health of our digestive system.
So how do you assess that? And how much does the history of a person impact your assessment of that ability?
Well, their diet history tells me why they're feeling the way that they're feeling because of what they're actually feeding their body. And if they have a litany of things that they're eating that are not necessarily going to be supportive of their health, okay, then that gives me an understanding of what it is that's going on within the function of their bowel system.
Well, one of the things that it seems to me that we have a lot of controversy about what is actually healthy for people. And there was a long time where it was like, oh, well, you have to eat low fat diets. And then there was about, you know, there are different things, you know, or there's the, what do you call it? The diet where you're eating mostly proteins and vegetables.
Right. At the end of the day, here's the truth of it, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let the whole world know what the truth is. That's the powers that be trying to manipulate all the people to create problems by putting out news stories that say this is the best way to eat, or this is the best food to eat, or this is the best supplement to take, or this is the best whatever. And then guess what? They make a boatload of money off of that advertisement, that direction, that command through the news or what have you. People go out and they listen to what the news says. And then guess what happens? They have a new problem. So they come up with a new diet, or they come up with a new fad, and they have people jump on that. And at the end of the day, again, no disrespect to her. I appreciate who she is, and I appreciate all the hard work that she's done, but she is still a lost soul. And I'm talking about Oprah Winfrey, okay? Oprah has gained and lost weight how many times in our lifetime, Mark?
Well, probably countless.
Right. Okay. And that's because she absolutely has no idea what she's doing. But she goes from one fad diet to another. She makes one personal trainer the richest one in the world. And then she's got this practitioner that comes on her show when she used to have a show, and all these things that she's helped people to become aware of. And it's all the same. It's all marketing. It's all ploys. It's all. And guess what? This is what I know to be true, having been in the industry for the last 30 plus years. All diets, Mark, all of them work. They all work. Every last one of them works, but it doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
So you need an individual to be able to teach you what is going to work for you, which is why I have people get their diet history to me. That what are they doing? I want to tweak that based upon what their situation is after doing a proper full body functional evaluation. I want to make sure that they understand what's going on with them and what's influencing that. And I want to give them a proper diet. People say, well, don't you just have a diet that you recommend to all your patients? No. I have 5,000 diets that I recommend to my 5,000 patients because everybody's different.
Well, and it makes sense that if you're taking the history of what a person has been eating and what their diet has been, that that's also going to impact you, because when you've been eating the same food, let's say you eat fast food or something like that, and you eat it on a daily basis, then you've had that long-term impact of having that fast food as part of your diet. So now that you're going to change your diet, that's going to influence how you change it.
Oh, absolutely. And at the end of the day, when we get balance within a person's digestion and assimilation system,
mm-hmm.
and then we support it with proper ingredients, that influences their brain chemistry so that they can continue to make better choices and have better outcomes. But when you have a dysbiotic bowel system where the microbiome is so screwed up because of all the toxins and crap that you put into it that disrupts it, okay, then you don't absorb and assimilate your carbohydrates the way that you're supposed to, then your brain doesn't actually have any food.
Right.
So then you get the cloudy thinking, and you get the general malaise and the haze that goes on in people in the afternoon at about 2 o'clock after they come back from lunch or what have you, and they don't become very productive. And that's the situation in all of our society.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you fix that? Well, you have to address what's going on and what their history is and what they're doing and how it impacts them, et cetera.
And speaking of that, I mean, when a person comes in with a health problem that restricts them from doing some particular activity, either partially or totally, and they want you want to know if that person can live without doing those activities, why do you ask them that question?
Well, it's very simple. If they have an addiction to their bad behavior that's leading them to have a health issue,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we now want to change that. Okay, let's say that they have to drink a cup of coffee black every morning when they first get out of bed. They can't do their day without a cup of black coffee. I had a patient the other day ask me, she says, you know, I'm afraid to ask you this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. She says, I can't get my day started without my cup of coffee. Is that bad? I said, yeah, you have an addiction. She says, an addiction to what? I said, you have an addiction to coffee. You need to have coffee stimulate you artificially mm-hmm. in order to jumpstart your body so that you can actually get your day started. That's a problem. Do you see that as a problem? Well, now that you put it that way, yeah, I guess that's a problem. So, well, yeah, but that's just it. You need to look at things objectively. Okay, if you require a certain ingredient in your life, you know, all these people that use 5-hour energy, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you need to do that? Why do you need the caffeine shot that's so much caffeine that it literally could cause you to lose your life because it's happened before? Why do you require that in order to, quote, feel alert or feel alive? What is wrong with you and your system that you require artificial stimulation in high concentrations in order just to get your day going? And the advertisers are okay with it.
Well, the advertisers are going to be okay with it because they're profiting from it.
Right, and part of the Food and Drug Administration is designed to make sure that people have issues. They've bastardized our food in an effort to get everybody on drugs. That's a summary of exactly what goes on in the Food and Drug Administration.
Oh, that's a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to finish out this show with some more questions that I have about what your history has to do with your health.
Certainly, but please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out why by asking Dr. Why. Dr. Y is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Y has traveled the globe, studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Y today. He'll take the time to get to know you and your concerns. He'll explain your health imbalances so you can understand them. He'll help you form a plan to return you to health and balance naturally. If you're tired of feeling sick and a lack of results from prescription medications, you need to ask why, and you deserve answers. Dr. Richard Huntoon provides understandable answers and gives sensible solutions without relying on drugs or surgery. Schedule your consultation today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me, short of walking into my office, which I'm happy for you to do, would be to call me directly on my cell phone, area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please do not text that phone because it does not receive texts, but you can text me via email at my email address of docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have. And today we're talking about what has your history got to do with it, and it has everything to do with it, at least to this point in our show. And what else you want to talk about, Mark?
Well, I know that your entire approach to dealing with people's health is to trying to find what's the underlying cause. So can you explain how that differs from simply treating a health issue?
Well, treatment is designed on purpose to address the effect of a problem. Like blood pressure medication addresses the high blood pressure, the state of being in high blood pressure, and it does not address the reason for why a person has high blood pressure. Taking cholesterol medication brings your cholesterol down to a normal level without ever addressing the reason for why your cholesterol went out of balance to begin with. Same with diabetes medication for blood sugar. And so if you never solve the problem once and for all, and there's consequences of taking the medication by suppressing and holding back or forcing something to happen that shouldn't be happening, which is what medicine does, it either pushes the system or it pulls on the system, it creates other problems that you're going to have to treat. And this is all because you never address the cause of your high blood pressure or never address the cause of your diabetes or your cholesterol issues. So the difference between focusing on treating a health issue versus getting to the cause is the difference between fixing a problem versus always having a problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, another, since we're talking about problems, when one of the things that you asked, and it was a very intriguing question in my mind, is that you ask a new patient, how important is it for you to get rid of that problem? I mean, isn't that just kind of obvious if they're coming to see you that they want to get rid of the problem?
Well, believe it or not, Mark, it's not really as obvious as you think it would be. If you have a person rate their commitment to getting well on a scale of 1 to 10, and a person tells me they're at a 5, okay, I'll ask them why they're at a 5. Okay, and they may say, well, because you know what? My lifestyle is the way that it is, and I have requirements and I have obligations, and for me to come and get care on a semi-regular basis is going to be difficult. So I'm just being honest with you, Doc. I'm at a 5 out of 10 as opposed to a 10 out of 10. And it's like, okay, so when I ask them, well, how important is it for you to get rid of your problem? And they say, well, it's really, really important. And I'm like, okay, what level of priority would you make it? Okay. And they start to look at their life and they're just like, you know what, I have my health problem because I've never made my health a priority, and I don't know that I'm in a position to continue making my health a priority. Or, you know what, I'm knocking on the door of needing a quadruple bypass, so I don't have any choice but to make a change in my health situation, and it's now become the most important priority possible. It's also interesting when a spouse is more interested in helping the person get well than the person with the problem is.
I would think that would happen more often with a female spouse wanting her husband to get better.
Yeah, it's probably 90% of the time that's the case. But every once in a while, I get a husband who's there and 100% attentive to wanting to make sure that the wife gets well. Why? Because it's the wife that takes care of the husband. And so we got to get rid of her problem so she can continue to take care of me, because if she can't get well, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I have no idea what she does to keep me well.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Now, one of the history questions that you must ask about, just knowing you, is about people's history with antibiotics. And since most of us throughout our lives have had various reasons to take antibiotics for an infection or something, what does that tell you?
And well, the antibiotics is one of the main reasons for why we get that dysbiosis, or the imbalances within our microbiome. And when you have that imbalance in your microbiome and you're unaware of the fact that that's what ultimately creates every health issue that you have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if a person has, you know what, I was being medically treated for a lung infection, and so you gave me antibiotics, and I took those for 2 weeks, but the lung infection was persistent, so I went on another 2 weeks of a different antibiotic, and it's like, okay, now you've not only trashed it, but you've compounded the trash on it, and now you're probably eating more sugar, which is causing more of an imbalance within your digestive system. So if a person has a history of antibiotics, okay, then I know that they have issues with their digestive system, and that's ultimately where we're going to need to start.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know we've talked and we've done shows on Lyme, which is a big problem, particularly in your former home up in the Northeast, because the when Lyme affects you, it can affect you in different parts of your body and can kind of locate differently. So even if you've done the course of antibiotics, you may have simply suppressed the spirochete that causes the condition.
No, I promise you, you've driven it deeper into the system,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get chronic Lyme, and mm-hmm. you may not have active symptoms initially, but I promise you that Lyme will still be there down the road.
And it'll come back at you years later.
It will come back in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, it's interesting because when you come to my office and I'm going to help you address what's going on with you as far as Lyme goes, we're going to get the whole cascade of effects handled. So when the person's done, they have some work to do as far as nutritionally supporting their body and why their immune system was weak enough to allow Lyme to come in and set up shop and call friends and have a big party inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to address the border wall. We're going to have to put up a border wall so that, you know, the people south of the border just can't walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important step. So getting rid of Lyme isn't hard, but supporting the immune system so that you never have to worry about getting Lyme ever again, that's a completely different part of the process.
So that goes to why the history right. becomes so important, because
it's about addressing the why. And it's like, okay, you can tell me what you have, and medical doctors are good at telling a person what they have, mm-hmm. but they never tell you why you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job is to always address the why so that the what goes away.
Well, but with something like Lyme, the reason I have Lyme and the why is because I got bitten by a tick.
Right, but why
is that? Is that the question that you would ask?
No, I understand that you got bit by a tick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Quick story. Good friend of mine. Guy I've gone to Mount Everest with, guy I climbed Aconcagua down in Argentina with, guy that I've traveled all over the world with. Good friend of mine. Okay. He and I used to go hiking together, because he basically is a landlord. He doesn't have to work. He collects rent for a living, and God bless him because he's very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go hiking, but I knew where we would go hiking better than he would, so he would always let me lead. So we'd walk through a field, we'd get back to the car, and we'd check each other for ticks, and he'd have a whole bunch of ticks on him, and I wouldn't have any.
Interesting.
So the next time we would go hiking, he thought it would be like, okay, I was waking the ticks up and they were jumping off the shrubbery onto him because I'd already left. Next time we go hiking, he leads because mm-hmm. now he knows where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow. We get back to the car and he's got a bunch of ticks on him and I don't have any on me. And the question is well, why? Well, pathogens are like lions on the plains of the Kalahari. Okay. There's a whole flock of zebras for them to kill. Which one do they end up killing?
The weak one.
The weak one.
Right.
So guess what? Pathogens are the same way. They're going to pick on the people who are immunocompromised, who they can just walk right in because there's no defense mechanism, like our southern border,
mm-hmm.
okay? As opposed to somebody who has a good, strong defense mm-hmm. mechanism, and it's like, you know what? They have an alarm system on their house, so I'm going to go find the one that doesn't if I want to break into their house. Why? Because they got a defense mechanism.
It's easier.
So people who maintain a high integrous immune system, digestive system, health in general, things will bounce off of them versus the people who have a weak system, things get in that don't belong in. And that's what creates problems.
So this goes to conclude our show. This goes why your history is so important, and knowing what's going on with your history becomes so important in being able to assess what's going on with the person's health and being able to help them get back to a healthy situation.
Right. And so what we want to do is we want to help them back to health and get them to where they're never going to have a health issue at all.
So I would suggest anybody that is in that situation give you a call.
Right. And, you know, the object is to once you get them right, you keep them right, and then they're always right, and then their history doesn't matter anymore.
That's great, Doc Rick. I appreciate it. It's great talking to you. I look forward to when we get together next week.
Yes, so thank you for tuning in. Please tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the...